This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, October 4th, 2015. The External Solemnity of the Most Holy Rosary by Father William Doc Holliday.
The Lord created me at the beginning of His work. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we are celebrating, I take license, once or twice a year to embrace the rubrics of the old calendar. And in the old calendar, you could take a feast day and you could celebrate it on a Sunday, and it is what is referred to as an external solemnity. Today is the external solemnity of the Feast of the Most Holy Rosary. Most Holy Rosary of the Blessed Mother, our Lord's Mother Mary. October 7th is the actual feast day, but we celebrate it here on Sunday because we ought to pay particular attention to something so gracious that our Lord has given us. I'm not going to, as I am wont to do on occasion, get real theological about this, that, or the other thing. I don't want to really parse the theology of the Rosary, nor do I really want to get into all that much theology of the Blessed Virgin Mary. What I want this to be is basically an advertisement, okay? Advertisement. We hate them, don't we? You turn on your computer, you're open the net, they're everywhere. Advertisements. You know, what do advertisements tell us? You need this. All right, whether you know it or not, you need it. Just a miracle of Almighty God that you lived as long as you have without whatever they're selling. All right, you need this. All right, this is an advertisement where truly, truly, you do need this. You need the Most Holy Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God. Okay, the Rosary is a devotion. It's a devotion like a devotion to the Holy Souls, like the devotion to the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy, devotions to certain litanies. They are glorious. I would highly suggest that you involve yourself periodically in various devotions. The Most Holy Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary is a devotion, but it is the pinnacle of all devotions combined. That's why it is truly necessary for us. When I say necessary, I don't mean, you know, you're not a Catholic if you don't pray the Rosary. I actually saw, I think, the polar opposite of being devoted to the Rosary. I used to work with this guy, and he was standing outside my car, and he looked and he saw a Rosary on the seat. He's in his early 40s, and he said, you know, I've been a Catholic all my life. If you held a gun to my head, I couldn't say a Rosary. He didn't know how to say a Rosary. Now, it would be subjective to me to say you can be a good Catholic if you don't know how to say the Rosary. But nonetheless, you can be a Catholic and not say the Rosary. I would highly suggest that you not be a Catholic who does not say the Rosary. Hence the advertisement. Okay? You need this. You really do. You need the Most Holy Rosary. You know, advertisements tell us that the thing that they're selling can do something better than you can do it by yourself. That would be completely debatable for most, probably 99.9% of things they sell, okay, I can guarantee you, the Most Holy Rosary, it does something that you cannot do yourself, okay? You got to start out and say, the Rosary is a prayer, all right? I don't like to say the Rosary because it's a bunch of just repetition of different prayers. It's a bunch of different Hail Marys and Our Fathers. That is not what the Rosary is, okay? Those prayers that we say while we're reciting the Rosary are background music. They are background music to the prayers that we actually pray, and that is our associating ourselves with the various mysteries of the Holy Rosary and putting them in the context of where our prayers need to go in our life at a particular time. Okay? A lot of people would step back and go, well, I pray on my own. That's between me and God. I don't need a rosary to do that. That sounds very pious. You know, I know you're all super saints and all that kind of good stuff. But guess what? Our Lord Jesus Christ tells us something specifically through the Holy Spirit in the words of Scripture. And He says, for instance, You receive not because you ask not, and you have not because you ask wrongly. Okay? In another place, the Holy Spirit says through St. Paul that you don't know how to pray. That's a pretty explicit indictment. You don't know how to pray. The Holy Spirit has to do it for you with groanings. Okay? That does not mean that you shouldn't pray. It's just giving us a perspective on where we are in relation to what we really need when we offer up our prayers. The prayer of the Most Holy Rosary is a better prayer than any you can offer up for yourself, because it's not only a prayer, but it is a prayer that is raised up to the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by His Blessed Virgin Mother. Okay? So you have the prayer of the Rosary and our petitions being brought up to the Lord at the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That is what makes it so special. That's what makes it so powerful. Okay? It can do something better than we can do ourselves. You can pray on your own. I'm not saying it may or may not be efficacious. If you pray the Holy Rosary and Our Lady is interceding for you, I guarantee you that you will be answered. And praise God, you will be answered in accord with the way our Lord wants it to be answered and not what you want. All right? Or the way you perceive you need. It's a prayer that's offered up at the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, a lot of people who don't understand the veneration that we have as the Blessed Virgin Mary, particularly your non-Catholic friends, I don't need the Blessed Virgin Mary. I have Christ as my example. We have Christ as our example. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the example to us of Almighty God. He is the one who has taken on flesh and dwelt among us. Okay? He is our example of God. And we are supposed to, as best we possibly can, emulate Him. We are supposed to imitate Him. You know what? We fall very far short of exemplifying our Lord Jesus Christ in this world. And unfortunately, we can cop out to that whole, we fall short. Well, He's Jesus Christ. He's God. You know, I try to be like Him, but He could walk on water. He could make blind people see. He could raise people from the dead. I can't do that. I'm not like Him. You are absolutely correct. That doesn't negate the fact that you have to use Him as your example and try to live as best you can in accord with the way He lives. He is our example of God. So we kind of get disconnected there. The Blessed Virgin Mary is an example for us also, but she, being a creature, is an example of us. She is an example of us. We have no excuse. Well, she was immaculately conceived. She is still a creature. She is not divine. And she lived a life of perfect faith and obedience. She is our example. And you have no excuse not to be faithful and obedient. And we should strive to be as faithful and obedient as she. However, she is a creature. She is not God. But she is as close to God as any creature has ever been. That is why this whole deal, what's the deal with the Blessed Virgin? The scriptures tell us what the deal with the Blessed Virgin is. All right? And it starts in the Old Testament. We don't read a whole lot about Mary. Nope, we don't read a whole lot about her, because guess what? There doesn't have to be a whole lot about her, because the things that we have are so pointed and so powerful. It starts in the Old Testament. The first reading today from the book of Proverbs. That first, the Lord created me at the beginning of His work. The context of that is wisdom. Okay? In the book of wisdom, it even takes it to another extreme. And when we talk about wisdom, we talk about, a lot of people, well, they're talking about the wisdom of God. You're talking about the Holy Spirit who created all those things. I would say not. I would say not, because it starts out, the Lord created me. No person of the divine Trinity is created. Not a one of them. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not a one of them is created. The eternal Father, eternal, always has been. Everybody's good with that. Okay? To be an eternal father in the context of God, you have to have something to be titled father. What is that? A son. So if God is the eternal father, he had to eternally have a begotten son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Begotten, not made. Begotten, not created. Jesus Christ is not created. He has always been the second person of the Blessed Trinity for all eternity. In Bethlehem, he took on flesh for us and was born, lived among us, but he is not created. He is eternally begotten. It cannot be speaking of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, is eternally processing from the Father and the Son, hence the words and the articles in the Creed. Okay? It cannot be talking about God, because it says, the Lord created me. None of the three persons of the Trinity is created. It's talking about something else, someone else. Okay? And as salvation history has teased itself out in the Scriptures, we understand it because liturgically we have, and in title, we have always applied these titles of wisdom. What Proverbs talks about, what the Book of Wisdom talks about, have explicitly equated them to the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is the seat of wisdom. All right? This is where do you get that kind of stuff? Our Blessed Mother, as I said before, is a creator. She understood this. When the Annunciation was made, what is in the Magnificat, what does Our Lady say? For he hath regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. All right? She understands. She prioritizes where she is. She says, oh yeah, I'm going to have the Son of God. That makes me spend... No. Complete humility. He hath regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. Our Blessed Virgin Mary is a creature. So when we hear in Proverbs in the Book of Wisdom about the personification of wisdom, who could that possibly be except our Virgin Mother Mary? I'll tease this out a little bit, make it a little bit more clear. So we understand that Mary is a creature, but she is, because she was immaculately conceived and sinless and absolutely faithful and absolutely obedient, she is the example, as I said before, for us, of faith and obedience. We can imitate her. All right? I shouldn't rephrase it like that. It's not a matter of we can imitate her. It's we must imitate her. You have to be like her to be a good Catholic, to be a good Christian. Again, that comes from the Old Testament. In Psalm 115, 116, for those of you who use newer versions of the Bible, the psalmist says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as he's proclaiming his servitude to God, he says, O Lord, I am thy servant. We are all servants of God, right? We all want to claim that. I am thy servant, the son of thy handmaid. What does that mean to an Old Testament person? I'm the son of thy handmaid. Now, for them, that was probably, well, my holy mother who keeps the law. You know, that's the best they could do. What was this handmaid thing? There was no one who was handmaid. What does our Blessed Mother say in the Magnificat? What is her fiat? Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. The Blessed Virgin Mary is the handmaid of the Lord. The definite article, handmaid of the Lord. She is the one in whom this title came to fruition. She is the handmaid of the Lord. And to be a servant of God, you have to be the son of thy handmaid, his handmaid. And the Blessed Virgin Mary, we know explicitly from the Holy Spirit, is the Blessed Virgin Mary is the handmaid of the Lord. We must be the sons and daughters of the handmaid of the Lord if we are to be a servant of Almighty God. Well, you Catholics are so jacked up on this Mary thing. You know, that even, you know, a woman yelled from the crowd to Jesus, you know, blessed is the womb that bore you. And Jesus said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus isn't being pejorative toward his mother. He's not negating what the woman said. What he's trying to do is prioritize what she said. Because when she yells out, "Blessed is the womb that bore you," all she's getting is the fact that, "I know who you are, Jesus, and how awesome it is to be the one who was your mother biologically." Jesus said, you know, this is a gloss. "Yeah, okay, she's my biological mother, but the reason she's blessed is because she heard the word of God and kept it. That's why she's so blessed." How many times, again, we don't read a whole lot about the Blessed Virgin Mary in Scripture, but we read time and again that when things would happen in her life, what would she do? She would ponder them in her heart. She would keep them in her heart. So when our Lord says, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it," he is just prioritizing this woman's acclamation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He said, it's not about the fact that she's my biological mother so much, although that is tremendously glorious. It's because she heard the word of God and kept it. I said before that the rosary is a prayer. The rosary is not only a prayer. The rosary is a prayer of the gospel. It is the gospel. All the mysteries of the Holy Rosary are explicitly taken from the gospel. And we all want to live the gospel, right? So if you're going to live the gospel, live like the Blessed Virgin Mary, because she lived the gospel. We don't hear a whole lot about her, but every time there's a high point in the gospel, the Blessed Virgin is there. People who are seeking our Lord Jesus Christ, when they are seeking our Lord, they not only find our Lord, they find His mother with Him. When the shepherds heard the angels come to them in the fields, and the angel said, "This day in the city of David is born to you a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And after they hear this, they see all the angels are singing, and the shepherds are on their faces because of the glorious sight that they've beheld. Then the angels go away, and the shepherds say, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see what these angels were talking about." And they go to Bethlehem, and it doesn't say, "And in the manger they found Jesus." It says, they found Mary and Joseph and the babe in the manger. When the wise men were looking for God, they're following the star. They're looking for our Lord Jesus Christ. They come from the east. They're pagans. They're not even among the people of God. They're foreigners. Okay? They follow this star and they're looking for Jesus. They stop with Herod. "Herod, yeah, go find him because I want to go worship him too, because he wants to kill him." And they follow the star some more, and the star shines its light on a home, and they go to the home, and it doesn't say, "And in that home they found Jesus." It says, they found the child and Mary his mother. If you are looking for Jesus Christ, you are going to find Mary. That's all there is to it. So, for those for whom you are praying that the Lord may open their eyes, that they may find salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ, pray the rosary for them. Beseech the intercession of the Blessed Mary, because nobody finds Jesus when they don't find his mother also. We all want Jesus to do things in our lives, whether they be miraculous or not. We want things to be done. The first miracle that our Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation for all the miracles, the changing of the water into wine at the wedding of Cana, you know, our Lord does that at the behest of his blessed mother. They're out of wine. Jesus even said, "It's not my time yet." But guess what? Our Lord Jesus Christ says, "It's not my time." But what does he do? He performs a miracle because his mother asks him to do something. She doesn't tell him to do anything. He's God. She's not. But she asks him, and he does, because his mother asked him. And then she looks at those servants and she says, "Do what he tells you." We all love doing what our Lord wants us to do. We love keeping the commandments and keeping his precepts. Praise God for that. We should all strive for that. But guess what? We receive those instructions from the Blessed Virgin Mary. Do what he tells you. That's why we keep, because our Blessed Mother tells us to do what he tells us to do. You don't find Jesus without Mary. Our prayers are centered around her. That reading from Acts today, the list of the apostles is named, and they're praying, and the women are there, and they're praying, and his brethren are there, and they're praying, And who is in the middle of them? Who is in the center? The apostles, the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. Mary is the center of our prayer. That's not because I say so. It's not because the Catholic Church says so. It's because Scripture says so. So when we pray the rosary, we are praying the gospel at the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is scripturally the center of our prayer life. We need to put ourselves with the apostles and his brethren and the women and have her as the center of our prayer, interceding for us. That's what gives us the hope that we have when we pray the rosary. And it's a hope that's not a conjectural hope. And Our Lady is the Salve Regina. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. I always point out and use my lottery illustration. We as Catholics do not hope for things like, I hope I win the lottery, because guess what? You're probably not gonna. All right? But to take the lottery illustration, that this is where we are as Catholics, we don't hope that we will win the lottery. We have the winning ticket. We got all the numbers. And now we just have to fervent. Could you imagine that? Getting all the numbers and having the ticket in your hand? You would hope beyond hope. I hope I don't lose this ticket. I hope I can find the lottery office to get my millions and millions of dollars. Okay, that's our hope. We've got something. We've got something already. We just hope that we can do our part to get it. We don't have to hope that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins and we have a place in heaven. We know He died for our sins. We just have to hope that we maintain a life of faith and obedience. And it's a holy hope, not a conjectural hope. We hope in the rosary that has been objectively proven throughout history to do miracles. To do miracles. And I'll tell you what, it's dangerous. I mean that literally. The rosary is a dangerous thing. It is a weapon. In the most purest sense of the word. Literally and figuratively. In 1571, Muslim hordes were in ships approaching Lepanto. They vastly outnumbered the Christian forces that were defending. And in 1571, when all hope was lost, they looked out, oh my gosh, look at all those Muslims coming. All right? The Pope and the leaders of the fleet beseeched everyone to pray the Holy Rosary. And they decimated the Islamic fleet. Decimated it. All right? Looking at some stuff. Doing this, and there's actually an absolutely beautiful set of vestments that were made from some of the sails and the tents that were taken from the Turkish ships that were captured. How cool is that? All right. In 1683, the same thing. Oh, wow. Figure this out. Muslims again besieged Vienna and had for years, and all hope was basically just going away. And the Pope said, pray the rosary for Vienna, and in 1683, there was a counterattack, and the Muslim hordes were decimated. Little footnote, some things never change. So, we face the same thing today. Pray the rosary, and the same thing will happen again. All right? I move on. Our rosary is effectual, and it is a weapon, and it will do what you ask it to do. Because it is the gospel and it is centered on the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Our Lady's intercession in Revelation chapter 12, the first line of that, and a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet. It's providential because last week, remember my homily about equating the sun in the sky with the Son of God, how Scripture does that and how we ought to look at that also. When we read that verse in Scripture about that this great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, S-U-N, but more so the sun, S-O-N, the Scriptures tell us to put on Jesus Christ, put on the Lord Jesus. No one that's ever walked the face of this planet has put on the Lord Jesus, who has put on the sun, as did the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is the woman who is clothed with the sun, and she has her feet and her mantle around the moon. What does the moon do? The moon reflects the light of the sun and the darkness of the night. The church reflects the light of Christ and darkness of this sin-cursed world. And our Blessed Mother has her mantle around it. This portent, this sign in heaven, is the Blessed Virgin Mary. And when you pray the rosary, you avail yourself of the intercessions of this one who stands clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet. Proverbs, that reading goes on, and it actually says to find her is to obtain favor from God. That's the Holy Spirit speaking. If you find her, you will obtain favor from, not you may, you will obtain favor from God. That, as I always say, we have this tendency in within the past 50 years to leave things out that we don't like to read. There is a verse that follows after find her and obtain favor from God. But he who misses her injures himself, and all who hate her love death. You need to pay attention to the Blessed Virgin Mary. You need to constantly find her. You need to constantly seek her. Just because we have her one moment doesn't mean we'll have her the next, or the way we should. How often do you lose your car keys? How often do you leave stuff around the house? I lost that. Guess what? It didn't go anywhere. You didn't pay attention. You didn't pay attention, or you were distracted by something. You're the one who lost it. It didn't lose itself. The Blessed Virgin Mary is the same way. We can pray the rosary time and time again, but then the distractions of life or our inattention, we can kind of lose sight of her every now. We have to constantly seek her. Because when we seek her, we will find her. And when we find her, we will obtain the favor from God. That's, again, not because I say it, because the Holy Spirit says it in Scripture. Brothers and sisters, keep finding her. Keep finding her, praise your rosary, and obtain favor from God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.